The Nine News Podcast is brought to you in association with Freddie Flaxman. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 311 of the 9 Years Podcast. I'm Nick Draper. I am joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Thank you again for downloading the show this week. We will be reviewing the defeat to Leyton Orient, touching on a couple of bits of news around the club, and then looking ahead to games. Busy time coming up with lots of fixtures, but we've got two games this week. Carlisle we will focus on. We host Carlisle on Saturday before we take a trip to Northampton. No, it's true. On Valentine's Day, as we did about 12 years ago, I think, bizarrely. Strange how these things happen. Anyway, Stu, Leyton Orient, we lost 1-0. What did you make of it?
Hey, look, do you know what? It's a defeat, and it was a disappointing goal we conceded. But performance-wise, I think we matched Leyton Orient in most areas. Had some good chances. Had some, to be fair, clear-cut chances. One clear-cut chance. And we've got to see some of the new players that come in, which I felt when they come on made a difference. And it allowed us, probably for the first time with Johnny Jackson, to really make some subs that can make a difference, you know, in that sort of side of it. So apart from the result, I think it was a positive afternoon.
You referenced chances. For me, the game was almost over, and I sensed the crowd felt it as well. As soon as Ethan Chislett missed the one-on-one chance, skied it over the bar. The ITV highlights made reference to the Six Nations and a possible conversion, which may have been a bit harsh, and we might come back onto the ITV highlights a bit later, actually. But as soon as he missed that, there was almost like, everyone seemed to know. It was almost like, yeah, that's our chance. It's gone. It's either going to finish 0-0 or Orient are going to get a goal. And my sense was Orient were going to get the goal, I thought they were played fantastically well. I thought they looked, and you actually messaged me during the game actually to say they looked really short on confidence, low on confidence. But it seemed to me it was going to be one of those games where a team that gets promoted, they tend to grind out these types of wins. They don't play particularly well. They come into it on a bad run, but they get the job done. And unsurprisingly, despite having a bit of a poor run, they'd only scored one goal in the last six games. They've since, having beaten us, they've gone on beating Crewe in the week 2-0, and they seem to be back on track. But anyway, point of all that is, as soon as Chislett missed, did you feel that was game gone?
John, there was two moments. I'm just finding out who it was. But there was the Chis moment was obviously a big moment. There's no doubt about that. And do you know what was really weird? Like, he got a touch. So obviously the ball's played through from Josh Davison, defender missed it, and the touch by Chis is excellent, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? In terms of that. I think what happened was his Vigoro come out really quick. He's a big goalkeeper. He's a big lump. And I think in obviously Chislett went high, didn't he, on that stuff. But there was also another moment. I just want to just check who the player was. But there was also their left back got booked in the first half. Yeah. Then did a foul in the second half, which I think you could argue could have been a booking. Mm-hmm. And I think Richie Wenners knew that because within a minute he was off.
Yeah.
He was off. And I think, again, I'm not saying the referee had a bad game. I didn't think he was too bad. Jaden Sweeney was the person. Mm-hmm. And I thought it could have been a second booking. And, you know, 10 men at that point would be interesting. So there were some key moments in between that. But, yeah, I know what you mean. Obviously, I wasn't at the game, but I don't know if the crowd, the Leyton Orient fans were, I don't know how supportive they were, because obviously Orient had been through a bad patch, or at home they've kept clean sheet after clean sheet.
Yeah,
but I don't know, you know, I thought the longer we could lead, me personally, I thought if we can get to 70, 75, knew we had subs that we could affect the game, then we might be okay. But hey, look, it's George Moncur who is, let's be fair, he's a decent player, more than a decent player at this level. If there was going to be a difference, it probably was going to be a player like him who, yeah, like I say, wasn't it championship level previously and stuff? Yeah. Who was going to make a difference? And it was a good finish. But you can pick holes in the goal quite rightly. But yeah, it was a moment on quality.
Yeah, it was funny. You mentioned the Orient crowd. They were very supportive throughout the game. I mean, they're still top of the league. There was, funnily enough, the first murmurings of discontent actually came in the build-up to the goal. And I think they were frustrated because Orient weren't passing the ball very quickly. I think they're used to seeing them pass the ball, move it really, really quickly. And it was quite slow, and it was actually quite slow in the build-up up until the final pass. Again, hints at their lack of confidence, which really did strike me at times. They did seem to be very deliberate in possession. And of course, once they got the goal, they started to pick that up a little bit, and especially El Mazzouni in midfield, who I think is a very, very good player. He looked like somebody that, you know, didn't particularly seem that low on confidence. He was still doing what he normally does. But anyway, a little bit of rumblings. The ball eventually finds out wide, and Moncur makes the run. Chris Gunter goes out to block the first pass. I think it's from the substitute you mentioned there. Tom James comes on. And he tries to recover. He does try to recover, but Moncur by that point has got past Little. Little was my man of the match for us. I thought he was excellent. I thought he was really, really good, really busy, total effort, never tired, weak in the tackle, really weak for the goal. And once Moncur had passed him, as you say, player of that quality, and he does finish it well. Look, fair play, fair enough. Can't really argue with the finish.
Yeah, he was weak, wasn't he? And it was an interesting one because Gunter obviously come out, Little followed the run behind. If I'm being picky, does he try and hold his line a little bit? Because when you get your fullback so advanced, do you know what I mean? That sort of side of it. But hey, look, you can be any goal you concede, you can be picky. It just looked messy, didn't it? It just looked a messy goal. Even on the line,
Yeah,
there
the way,
was, you know, players.
Lee Brown
So
trying to get back, I think, yeah.
but yeah, it's interesting. Do you know what I think? One thing I did notice, I don't know how bad it looked at the time, but their pitch is not very good
No.
for a team which you went as one. And you were saying about want to get the tempo, want to get the ball moving. I thought the pitch didn't look great at all from the angle that I could see.
No.
I don't think it helped. I felt in a way it helped us because of course we want to play football at the
No.
moment. We're anti-football, so we bypass the midfield where they wanted to play through the
Yes.
midfield. So, you know, I think with Leonori, I think, you know, I think that win, and you're right, the win away at Crewe may well give them, you know, Stevenage obviously got games to catch up. But if there's going to be an Achilles heel, it's going to be their pitch because of the style they want to play. But then, hey, look, we may have that. I was going to say we might have that problem with our ground, but equally, we don't play in the midfield area. So the actual grass is very green in the middle of Plough Lane at the moment.
Yeah, no one goes anywhere near it, and it is very much that is how we said it for a while now. This is what we are. We, for want of a better term, percentages. We get the ball forward quickly. We get it into areas. We get it into towards the corners. We win free kicks. We play offset pieces. All those sorts of ugly sides of the game. Hey, look, I get it. We were struggling in October time, and since we had this change of shape and change of tactic, it's worked for us. I don't think we're in any danger of relegation. So I do wonder if we now look at it and go, do you know what? Let's try in the same way that Robbo tried to last season. Let's try and have a way of playing that is, you know, that we're established in doing, that we can play with a little bit more freedom, try and be a bit more creative. Because we've got the play, we have got the players there. The glimpses we saw, especially of DJ, I thought on Saturday, I thought looked really promising, really encouraging. We know what Chiz can do. We know that Wijnaldum and Pell, what they can do. Josh, feel really sorry for Josh. It's hard work for him being the lone striker. So maybe we start to think about doing that. Because, hey, as I say, look, we're not going down. So can we
No,
start to
no.
be try and put, it's fantastic. Our defensive record has been amazing since October. The amount of clean sheets we've kept has been fantastic. But it's a bit of a grind. It can be a bit of a grind watching us.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, when we got beaten at home to Sutton, there's no doubt that the emphasis changed on being hard to beat, playing more percentage football. And like anything, when you've got a solid fan, don't get it wrong. I've been looking at stats ready for the show on Saturday. Interestingly, if you look at clean sheets, Leinor at lead with 18 clean sheets this season, which is probably why they're top. We have 11 clean sheets. And if you look at the teams around me, it's Carlisle, Tranmere, and Stockport, or the other teams that have got into double figures with clean sheets. And you can see where they are in the league. Stockport just got into the playoffs. So you can see definitely that we, you know, in terms of defensively, we have, you know, not say got it mastered, but we're a mean team in terms of defensively. But you're right. If we do want to get more goals, then in a way, your emphasis does have to be more of a risk base rather than we are a non-risk the way we play, isn't it? So for us to get more goals, we've got to play more risks, which might mean we can see goals, but it's getting that balance right. And there's like I say, DJ, yeah, does look exciting. Does look exciting. From all accounts, the two, so Sam Pearson and
Jana.
McAteer.
Okay.
Sorry, no, Case McAteer played in
The
a
ones that
Pompey game.
weren't involved, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently looked really, really good in terms of that. So all of a sudden now, like look at, if you look at it, we actually had an 18-man squad, and we had people that couldn't get into that 18-man squad, which is really, really interesting in that sort of side of it. So we definitely have options. Does just Joey Jackson now go a bit more forward attacking based, that because he's definitely got the players. Jana, yeah, you're right. Jana looks again a player that doesn't want to play long ball. Actually, the signings we've brought in don't
Yeah,
look like they want to play
they don't
direct
suit
football.
it, no.
So, and it's interesting, we said in a January transfer window, because I was saying, what's the window may look different now than what it would have been with Joey Jackson thinking in August, because his team was to get playing football, wasn't it? Where it went more direct. Whereas you could argue the players that have come in actually suit what he wanted to play in August. So yeah, can you do a transformation so easily? I don't know. But yeah, DJ did excite me. But then I did say to you, I remember the game that he played against us, Charnock Plough Lane, when he was behind closed doors and he terrorised us. And I remember thinking he's a header, he looks a decent player. Obviously, he hasn't worked for Charlton. But hopefully it works for us.
He's on loan, isn't he, until the end of the season? That's probably the other consideration we've got to have is the fact that these players that have come in, we've got Mac, obviously we're not going to keep hold of McAteer, no chance of that happening.
No.
No. Jana possibly, potentially, DJ potentially, possibly, we don't know this for certain. So it'll be interesting to see how we progress and how we go about games. It's the way we are set up at the moment, like we said, hard to beat. Can never fault our endeavour or work rate or anything on that score. But the way we set up, hard to beat. And I think it suits us playing, as we have done in recent weeks, it suits us playing the Bradfords and the Stockports and the Orients, teams that are perhaps thinking they're more likely to come and try and take the game to us, where we can be solid and sit deep and break on them. I think Carlisle will be similar, Northampton will be similar. I think perhaps when we get into the later stage of this month, when we have the Hartlepools and people like that, Gillingham, that might be interesting to see how we go about trying to win those games, because that's when we might find it a little bit more tricky, bizarrely.
Yeah, you're right. Let's be fair. The teams we've played since the new year, crikey! If you look at a run of fixtures, we had a hell of a, and when we've done a live show, we looked at the next five and we've looked and gone, crikey! They're mostly all against teams in the top half playoff positions. All right, the playoff positions keep changing, but you've got Bradford, Stockport and stuff like that. So, yeah, you're right. I think it is how do we go against the games that maybe we are favourites to win. Whether we're favourites at Gillingham, I don't know, but our record's good at Gillingham. But let's be fair, it's a totally new 11 for them, near enough, isn't it? Didn't Neil Harris get manager of the month, I
Did he
think,
really?
or something as well. I don't know if that was for the amount of signs that he done in a short space of time. I doubt if he had much sleep, because the amount of transfers they've done is
Yes, man, yeah.
wow, do you know what I mean? And that sort of side of it. But yeah, no, I think you're right. I think how we react to that, but we've got a lot of, I think if you look here, we've got a lot of games and we've got a big squad. So that's not the worst thing in the world. I think Johnny Jackson could effectively play two different 11 teams now, two different sets of 11, which can't remember last time we were able to do that. So yeah, I think the loan is how the transfer world or the foot world is changing a little bit. There's a hell of a lot of loans at the moment, but a lot of the loans in the football, I think, are loans at the end of the season, potentially then to sign them in the summer. And I definitely think players like Little and Jenna are probably players that we might well have looked at in the summer, got beat because they went to Cambridge and Forest Green, etc. Obviously, haven't been successful at that level. So it might be something that, unless Forest Green get relegated, of course, we might have a chance. But Amani Little, he's a player. He's a player. And I think he's going to very quickly make that position his own.
And just to finish off, talk about the squad potential of having two sets of 11 players, but obviously Hudson Belair, as we've said. We've mentioned Chris Gunter for the goal. Chris Gunter came on for Belair because Hussein unfortunately got injured in the first half. No one was near him. Those sorts of injuries always worry you when they just go down, and it does. I believe he is out now for a little while.
Yeah, I believe from what I've seen, I'm not. I think 6 weeks. I think that's what's been
Right.
mentioned. I'm not sure if that's official or unofficial, but I've heard 6 weeks, which is a shame. However, you've got a Welsh international that can come in. It's not the worst thing in the world with experience wise. And don't get me wrong, Usain Bolt's been playing really, really well. But do you know what? Sometimes injuries. For him, it's not a surprise that it's probably not an impact injury because ultimately he's playing games at a level that he's not used to. He's not played his amount of games. So I think when they're young and stuff like that, they do pick up these muscular injuries simply because of wear and tear. So actually, do you know what? In hindsight, 6 week break, Gunner comes in and then he's available for us from what, March onwards. So it might not be the worst thing in the world.
The other thing about Leyton Orient away, good turnout, sold out our allocation, might even have sold above our allocation from things that we have heard. But yeah, as I say, a really, really good atmosphere. Chiz miss and then the goal. I think it was really strange. It's one of those where it just seemed to knock the lot. Not it didn't knock the life out of everyone, but I think everyone just kind of accepted that that was it, game over. Like we weren't going to score, and we do struggle to score goals. It's fair enough, but the atmosphere is really, really good. However, I'm not sure had they wanted to, Leyton Orient could have perhaps stopped the game for health and safety reasons because half the crowd were stood in the aisles and the stairways, blocking the stairwells, blocking the exits. So wasn't the there could have been, it's
Really that
probably a good
bad?
thing we didn't score because it might have been a bloodbath had we
Is it
actually
really that
scored.
bad?
It was bad. It's the worst I've experienced, I think, in terms of being in an all-seater stand with people stood in on stairwells in aisleways. I don't think I've ever ex seen something. I can't remember us ever really standing in the aisleways to that extent, to be honest with you. Maybe a few at the very, very back, but not as far down as they had come. So, yeah. Some questions, perhaps. It does have to be said, if you turn up at 5 to 3 and think you can get a place to watch the game from that you really want, then it's not going to happen, unfortunately. So there were empty seats around that people could have gone and taken up that space, but people don't want to do that. But you
I
can't always
think
get everything you want in life. If you want to get there at 5 to 3, then you might have to sacrifice having a better view of the game.
and it's obviously up to the stewards to manage that situation. However, they have a thankless task when you've got what,
Of course, yeah.
1200 women fans in France, I just say 50, it probably was more now, but 50 turn up in the last 5 to 3. And I suppose you do a, I suppose from a risk point of view, you go, well, actually, do you know what? Do we challenge these or do we just get them in? But you're right. I think we had that at Colchester. You and I don't do many away games now, but I definitely noticed people coming in late. That's not a surprise. People can have a drink and stuff
Of
like
course,
that. But
yeah.
I think when you do unallocated seating, like from the rumors that I heard, again, these are just rumors that you probably could get more in that end, but they don't sell as many because people leave, as you said, one seat next to each other. Do you know what I mean? Rather than just push up, and then you get the situation. But it's a difficult one, and I think it's twofold. The fans have to be a bit more realistic getting in and be cooperative, and the stewards need to be a bit more proactive. But it's a dangerous mix, isn't it? When you've got fans that have had a bit of a drink and they want to just sit or stand where they want to stand. But yeah, you're very right. We did want to score a goal. Really, well, that's not why Chiz missed. Of course, we know that. But you know what? Some players, if there's players you want to fall to, at the moment, finishing wise, probably with Davison or Chislett.
Funny enough, Johnny Jackson said that in his interview afterwards. He said those exact words. He says, "If there's one player I'd want to have that chance, it was Chislett." And I was like, "No, that's a lie. You'd want it to be Davison, but if he can't have Davison, then you'd go for Chislett."
But isn't Chislett, I think Chislett scored 9 this season, Davison scored 8. I know, yeah.
Funny enough, we'll come
But
on to
you're
this in a
right.
bit.
Davison's a striker, Davison's a forward, isn't he? But hey, look, if you said there's a few players on that pitch you wanted to fall to, for argument's sake, you wouldn't want it to fall to, I don't know, try me, who would you not want it to fall?
Would
You
he?
wouldn't, or Zanev, not that it would, because of course he's in goal. I know, I'm trying to think
We
of a
really
player
would
that I
have
don't.
abandoned our
I'm
defensive
not.
principles at that point.
I want to say a player that I don't want to, you know. Yeah, mate, you're right. Woody's not known for his renowned for his goal scoring ability, is he? Do you know what I mean? So you're right, Woody, but then he wouldn't be that far forward. But yeah, hey, look, do you know what? It is what it is. But from a performance point of view, I think we put in a really good performance, and they're the main things, aren't they? Because they're the things you can take on to the next game, the next game.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And it still is only, what, two defeats in 15 or something like that. So
Wow, that's very good.
it is, but then just one win in, what is it, one win in seven now? It's bizarre. It's really funny how these things work, but
the old stats, you can make them to sound what you want them to sound, doesn't it? Do you know what I
exactly,
mean?
yeah.
We stick with a 2 from 15. That sounds a bit more impressive, doesn't
Yeah. Lies, damn lies, and statistics and all that.
it?
Quickly touch on a couple of things. We've been fined for our players' behaviour, as have Stockport
Yeah.
for their players' behaviour. We got fined more than they did, but this was all in relation to the second Harry Pell foul for which he was booked and the way players surround the referee. I understand. So we got away with haranguing the referee and the linesman for the award of the penalty, but not for it kicking off after the Harry Pell booking. Hey, look, these things happen. I've got to say, some people have said, well, surely the referee should be fined for his abysmal performance. Now, he had a poor game. The referee was very poor against Stockport. But you know, I stick up for referees on the podcast and in general. And there is a difference between a referee misjudging things in awarding free kicks and fouls and penalties and whatever. They are honest mistakes. Whatever, no matter what, even on somebody on the Stockport game said, oh, this referee's poor, but at least he's not biased. The Newport referee was biased. I'm thinking, no referee is biased. Until the day I become a referee and I get Milton Keynes, no referee is biased. Okay. They make honest mistakes. However, players surrounding the referee and getting right in his face and yelling at him, and people on the touchline as well, I may add to the fourth official, which we have to be wary of, you can control that. Do you know what I mean? You've made a conscious decision to do that. So it's not quite. It's not a fair comparison to make.
No, and I mean, honestly, I think we deserve the fine because we didn't control our players, and I think that's a it's a really important thing to do. I said before, my pet hate at the moment is constant pressure on referees. You know,
Yeah.
you have a foul and you're straight on them, and you're surrounding, and it's not just one team; it's two teams because, of course, one team goes in, the other team's got to counter it, and then you just get referees making. Hey, look, referees are human, and to say it, I don't think any referee would say that they don't get influenced by something. There's always, you know, there's a reason why, you know, Man United probably won, I think, I don't think that's lost like 12 games at home or something. There's probably a reason for it because they will get more decisions overall. Although VAR is obviously affecting that. But that even is subjective, isn't it? But there is a reason why home advantage is home advantage. I think it's something that's got to be cut out. It's interesting. I can't remember who it was now. I was on Twitter, an ex-referee was saying that. They felt, I don't even think it was an ex referee. It might have been Howard Webb, who's now the, I think he's leading one of the Premier League, but said that potentially maybe the threshold for referees on players coming around them is too high.
Yeah.
I.e., saying, and he
The
was, I
tolerance
think,
of it, yeah.
yeah, and saying that really should start booking. And I would, do you know what? I just think as soon as it starts happening, you either get referees in. There was a game that I watched in a week where they got both referees,
Captains,
both
managers.
captains. I said, yeah, both captains. I said, right, you know, something's got to happen because it's just getting terrible now. It's just literally like they're literally running. Some of them are sprinting harder to get to referee than they are to get a loose ball. It just feels like it's not nice, if I'm being honest with you. I don't like seeing it. I think don't get me wrong, I don't want to be shrinking violets and not do anything and not try influence because that's but influence but not in that way. I don't think it's beneficial. So the fine is probably a right, in my opinion. We should be fined for that. I don't think Stockport did anything less than us. I thought they started it, and I know it's not a case of who starts it, but let's be fair, Stockport were the first ones to get
Yeah,
around the referee, weren't
they were,
they?
yeah.
So it doesn't make up for that. So yeah, I'm not surprised. And I think I said to you the other week, didn't I? If you look at Twitter, I follow the FA, and every Monday there's fines galore, and it's a lot of it is for not controlling the players. So I think yeah, we need to get on top of that. It's not nice, and I don't like it personally.
Something you did like, I imagine, is the update from Mick Buckley on the official website, just talking through the January transfer window. I mean, I've really got nothing to add other than it was a good little piece of information and as much of that as we can get. we will welcome.
Yeah, I think it covered the thing that I think a lot of people said about the transfer money from Asel. It's from what Mick was saying there, it's just basically an advance. We expected to get that money in the summer to cover our shortfall on the salaries, and we just got it early. So that money's just going to sit in a pot and probably get some interest, hopefully. So yeah, that was good to know. I think we sort of guessed that, didn't we? But yeah, good update. And hopefully the club can get an interview with Craig Cope soon, just to see what he's been, not what he's been doing. I've seen him quite a bit at the ground and he looks busy, but now hopefully it should be a chance now for him to update us and what his plans are for the next transfer window, which I'm sure he's already cracking on to now, because it must be a busy world as a being a head of football operations.
I imagine so. Yes, when I hear Craig Cope, I always think of Craig Cash for some reason, who was Dave in the Royal Family. But I mean,
Do you know, I did see, by the way, I saw an interview with Terry Brown,
oh yeah,
who's the head of football operations at Aldershot.
oh, of course he is. Yes,
And I just saw
oh
something and
yeah.
thought, all of a sudden I thought, could you imagine the difference between Terry Brown and Craig Cope? Not that I know Craig Cope at all, but Terry Brown, can you imagine his contact list? He must have books and books of names.
Yeah.
And I just thought, actually, John, it's great to see Terry still involved in the game. Probably a great role for him. Probably a role that, to be fair, he did for us when he'd come and join us as manager. He probably doubled up with that, didn't he?
Yeah, I imagine so.
Did it all. But yeah, it just made me laugh when he was a title as head of football operations. But it's great to see that he's still well, and can you imagine a vast amount of knowledge he has in that non-league?
Who was Terry Brown's assistant when he was manager of Wimbledon?
Stuart Cash.
So Craig, we've gone from Craig Cope to Craig Cash to Stuart Cash. It's almost like word association.
Still
And
can't believe we didn't get Matty Cash on loan.
yeah,
Still can't.
I'm
How
not,
did we
but
not? How did
okay.
that not happen? Wasn't it Dagenham? It was Dagenham Redbridge or something, wasn't he?
Yeah,
And if
but
you
you
look
know,
now,
it's easier for them. They've got two teams.
if you look at it now, like I say, he's a Polish international. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it out what you will. Yeah. Still can't believe we didn't get one loan. But his dad, we had his dad as assistant manager, and we didn't get him online. What's going on?
Yeah, but when did his dad leave, and when did,
Yeah, he might have
do you
been
know what I
15
mean?
at the time, but
Yeah,
surely he
because
was
they've been
better.
very
He
young.
surely was surely was better at age than what we had in the team at that time, surely. Anyway, let's move
Saying
on.
nothing about Warren Cummings or Louis Harris. Who can forget Louis Harris? Everyone. Right. Well, actually, I was going to do Jackson 5 first, but let's do on that side of it first, because we've spoken about the royal family there, Craig Cash, who is a member of that sitcom. Fawlty Towers apparently is making a comeback, Stu. Allegedly. Yeah, I was going to
Good
say.
luck. What would they be able to say? Could you imagine editing that? Like, yeah, we've got 5 minutes worth.
Yeah, exactly. In this day and age, it's probably not going to get very far. However, it does beg the question for this week's on that side of it. What is the best sitcom of all time? Because many people will say Fawlty Towers. I wouldn't. But many people would.
Sitcom.
Yeah,
Does Only
sitcom.
Fools and Horses qualify as a sitcom?
Yes, that is, yes, possibly the
That'd be
most
my
famous of all
choice.
sitcoms. Yeah.
That'd be
Okay.
my choice.
Fair
So
enough.
I think you can be that, in my opinion.
Can I throw some names at you of sitcoms that will not be the best before I get to my choices, what the best one ever? But some classic sitcoms then. Obviously, well, let's talk British ones first. Okay. So, Keeping Up Appearances. That would have been one from my youth.
Was that Mrs. Bouquet?
Bucket, yeah.
Bucket, she was
Yeah.
hilarious. Oh my days, yeah, that was a good one. All right.
Yeah, there you go. So, what else did we have that we could put in? The Inbetweeners. There you go. Good British sitcom. Friday
I
Night
never watched
Dinner.
the series. I watched a film, The Inbetweeners, which was
You've never watched the
hilarious.
series of The Inbetweeners?
No, I watched a film.
No.
I went through a stage of thinking if everyone was talking about something, I couldn't be bothered. I didn't. I've always been not one to follow
A
things. You know what I mean? Like,
contrarian of sorts.
yeah, like I didn't watch Titanic until like 5 or 6 years later, and then watched it, and then started talking to my mates about it, and they're like, "Sure, it's an old film." I'm like, "Yeah, but I've only just watched it."
Yeah, I've never seen it, to be honest with you.
Have you
I know
not?
what
It's great.
happens.
Yeah, do you know what? For 3 hours, but then do you know? We sidetracked here massively, but Kate Winslet. She's in a what's the film? Something of Eastwood. It's a Sky Atlantic, and she's
Mayor of
great in
Eastwood.
it. Mayor of Eastwood. That's it. Really good if you get a chance to watch it. But Lorraine, my wife, was like, I just still think she's in Titanic. Like,
No, I've got some bad news,
why
Lorraine.
she's like she survived. I'm like, no, it wasn't real.
But it was, well, it the was Titanic
real.
Was real.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. It was real, but she wasn't, she wasn't real in it. You know, she gets older, a lot older. It's when you see people that you used to think, oh, they were right in the day, and then they get old and they're still around. Madonna, prime example. Jesus, what the hell was that?
What's going
what
on?
Is going on with that? Look, yeah, mate. I'm going to see her, by the way. Did I tell you that?
For tea? She's invited you around for tea?
We got tickets for it. I won't tell you how much we paid. Ridiculous amount of money. But it was Lorraine's, one of Lorraine's. She wanted to go and see him, so we're going to see him, her.
Who knows these days?
Who knows? Do you know what? It's probably led on to, because we're going to see Sam Smith as well, which again is.
I hope he's well.
Sam Smith.
Anyway.
I'm just going to be a mute when I go to that concert. I'm not going to say anything to anybody.
Don't say anything. Jeez. Yeah, I wish you well with that one.
Yeah.
But to finish off, anyway, as we've sidetracked it so far, obviously we have some American sitcoms and we have many, many ones of these. Frasier, for example, Friends, for example. However, the best sitcom, without any doubt, of all time is The Office, the British Office, followed closely by I'm Alan Partridge, the first series. But yeah, anyway, that's. If anyone would like to disagree with that, tweet us at 9YRS Podcast.
I didn't watch either of those.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. As you said it, because I didn't watch it. And, it's funny because you always go about Alan Partridge moments and I always get a bit confused. I'm like, well, what are those moments? But yeah, I never watched either. I think, to be fair, when they were on, I was either at football, drunk, pissed, or playing football. I think that's probably why I didn't watch them.
No, you see, you need to watch that. You need to watch these back. You have to watch it. In between us, The Office and I'm Alan Partridge, the first season. Well, both, but the first one in particular. Yeah, you have to watch these, Stu.
Anyway. I will have a go.
Okay. But anyway, we have to move on very quickly because we're going to run out of time. And I want to get Jackson 5. This is a great Jackson 5, Stu, because not only do I think you've got a chance of winning this, as in getting another 5 out of 5, but it proves a hell of a point. This is fascinating to me. Can you tell me our 5 top goal scorers in League 2 this season that are still at the club?
Say it again. Top goal scorers in League 2?
For us, this season, that are still at the club.
Right. Davison.
Yeah.
Chislett.
Yeah.
Pell.
Yeah. 3 out of 3 so far.
Jack Curry.
4 out of 4.
Who scored the other one? Has Will scored a goal yet? Will Nightingale?
No. One more guess.
Ah, my days. I can't think of the last one. Nice, but I can't think of it.
No, just want to check any name from the squad that's still.
I know
with
Woody's
us.
Not. I know Alex Woodyard's not scored this season. So, yeah, Woody. I can't remember the last one.
Okay, well, you got 4 out of 5, which is pretty good. The last one is Paul Kalambayi. I think he scored against Harrogate. But do you know what the fascinating thing about this is, Stu? Who's sixth? Who is sixth on this list?
I don't think we have a sixth.
We don't. That is it. That's those 5 players are the only players that in the squad as it stands that have scored for us in the league this season. Josh 8, Chiz 7, Pell 3, Jack and Paul Kalambayi 1 each.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's one I had an advantage on. Well, not an advantage, because I support the team, so I should know who the players are. But I on the graphics, I always do the next 5. And I think Nathan Young-Coombs had 2 goals, I think, or 2 or 3 goals.
Yeah.
And he was our next.
Yeah, he had 3, I think.
Yeah, so I remember when Nathan went, I was like, well, that's one of our top goal scorers.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that, though. Mad, isn't it? Mm-hmm. If you think back to probably the season before when we had quite a few different goal scorers, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we've gone to that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a mad stat.
It's a great stat, though. Great statistic for which we will now see if anyone else can score for us on Saturday when we welcome Carlisle to Plough Lane. Carlisle United have the division's top goal scorer in Christian Dennis. So we have to be mindful of him. However, they didn't score last time out. Egil Olsen once said, if you score 5 goals in a game, you don't score more than once in the following game. And Carlisle, having scored 5 against Barrow, managed to fail to score against Harrogate and lose 1-0 with the best own goal you will see this season.
It's hilarious, isn't it?
It really is. It's just like, and you can just see, as soon as it leaves his foot, he goes, you can just see him go, oh, mate, what have I done?
If ever you want to sum up League Two football, or like the old days, we go, "Oh, crikey, that's such a poor standard." League Two isn't a bad standard, but that doesn't show it in its best light.
No.
And Harrogate held on to that. Well, not held on to it. So, given that lead, Carlisle failed to recover from giving Hartlepool the lead. It's not
There's a
Hartlepool, Harrogate. Sorry,
Harrogate. There's a great
Carlisle
video
H.
of a different angle of the goal, and the Harrogate players running off to celebrate, and then they almost at the same time realised that none of them could actually celebrate. They just had to sort of
It was the last
run
person
back.
that touched the ball. He has
Yeah,
an
exactly.
assist
Yeah.
or a goal involvement,
Goal
as we call
involvement.
them.
Well, their right back, I think, who just hoofed it up the pitch with no target whatsoever in mind, has ended up with assist. Anyway, Carlisle United, they've actually lost two of their last six, but they've won the other four. They've not drawn a game in nine, so you know what that means. But they are currently third. Paul Simpson in charge, who obviously won the league with them about 15 years ago. No, maybe close to 20 years ago now, actually. And they beat us at Brunton Park earlier in season 2-1. I think, Stu, I think this is a tough game. I can see this being another draw, to be honest with you. But maybe some goals this time, because at least they score goals. They've scored 12 in their last six. Obviously, they're five against Barrow, but they conceded five as well. So we might get away from the binary scorelines we've been having over the past month.
I think we win. I think we've got a really good home
Oof,
record.
it's a bold,
I
but
really
well, that's
do.
the other. We've not lost at home in ages either. That's
I
a
think
bit of
our
a
home
worry.
record, I think we're strong at home. We really are strong at home.
Yeah.
When you look at so I'm gonna go for a 1-0. I don't see us conceding. I know
Really,
what
that's
you just said. I know what you just said counters everything you just said there.
a.
But I think we're strong at home. I really do. I think we're strong with ball win. We're methodical. But we either win or we don't say win or don't win then. We either win or we draw.
We just
I
lost.
think we'll win. But I think performance. I think we'll win. I really do. I'm really confident at home games. I really am.
Okay. This unsettles me and unnerves me, but I will stick with a safe. Let's have some goals just to break up the monotony of it all. Let's say we're going to draw two all. I mean, this is totally nonsensical.
How many goals we score in January?
This is what I mean. It makes no sense for me to say this, but you know what I'm thinking?
So
I'm thinking we might have one of those games where we end up bringing on, like we did on Saturday, we bring on attacking players to try and stretch the game, and it opens the game up a little bit, and we have some sort of crazy back and forth in the second half, maybe.
Basically, our predictions make no sense on the actual statistical information.
Nothing on this podcast makes sense at any point whatsoever, Stu. I've been doing it for 311 episodes, and yeah, say no more.
This should be good. This should be good.
It will be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good game on Saturday. You can follow updates on Twitter at 9YRS Podcast. Thank you very much to Chris, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, for continuing to do those, especially as I couldn't help on Saturday because I could not get on Twitter for love nor money during the game. East London, Leyton Orient, that stand, old stand, blocked out any data whatsoever.
So
So.
they blocked out the seats, they blocked out the gangway, and they blocked out the signal.
And they blocked out
Shocking.
our attack as well because they kept a clean sheet. So,
They
hey,
aren't.
look, fair enough. Anyway, so that's it. And obviously, you can join us on YouTube and Facebook prior to and post the game for build up and reaction to whatever happens. Aside from that, Stu, we have got literally like 60 seconds. But another
Perfect.
interesting load of fixtures in League Two. Full program on Saturday at Saturday 3 p.m. Another full program of fixtures on Tuesday night as well. Crawley versus Crewe will be interesting because Crewe seem to be in a little bit of a muddle at the moment. But anyway, unless you have a fixture to add.
No, do you know what? I'll say Crawley dropped into the, we'll say bottom four, but they dropped Hartlepool, not Hartlepool, Colchester dropped out really well. But yeah, it's an interesting league, and the playoffs keep changing around. There's a strong section there, isn't it, underneath sort of third place. So yeah, it's really good.
Thank you very much. Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. I'm going to sign off really quickly because I don't know how long we have left. But thank you, Stu, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 plus 2 equals 4, and we shall speak to you again next week.